It's so cool because I was preparing the message for tonight, and you know, didn't talk to Jason or arrange anything with him. But this last song that we just sang talks about healing and healing and restoration. And the song that we sang before that, it talks about how Jesus endured our pain. And it's exactly what I want to talk to you about tonight, because pain sucks, right? That's right, pain sucks. And especially if you're clumsy, like me, you know, like run into things all the time, pain sucks. But let me just kind of tell you like what's been happening over the past 3 weeks or so. Just out of the blue, I was totally fine. Out of the blue, my left heel started to hurt. I ended up going to the doctor after a few weeks, and the doctor didn't really know, you know, what's going on and why it's hurting. He said, you know, take some Advil, call me in the morning, basically. But I've been limping, and it's been going on, and it just doesn't seem to want to go away. And it's just been there all the time. You know, I get up in the morning, and I step on it, and it hurts. That's just been over the past 3 weeks, but you know what? Like, as my heel was starting to hurt, about a week ago, I talked to my wife, to Naomi, and I was like, you know what? I'm so happy at least my shoulders aren't hurting anymore. Because I've had problems with my shoulders for most of my life now. It's just, I had a torn rotator cuff on my left side. I have a winged scapula. It's not a wing. It's just the thing that causes problems with your shoulders on my right side, and they hurt. So as I'm dealing with this heel pain, I'm talking to my wife, and I'm like, you know, at least my shoulders aren't hurting. And about a week ago, my shoulders started to hurt, and they've been hurting ever since, to the point where even today, while I was in bed, I had to use my left hand to lift up my right arm because it hurts so bad. I feel like I'm 82 years old. Sometimes, like, I try to lift my arm, and it, like, locks in a certain place, and I have to readjust and then continue lifting it. And it's pain, and it sucks, and it's annoying. And it's been going on for years, at least this one. And then, let me tell you one more thing. Again, about a week ago, you know, just dealing with stuff. You guys deal with stuff. You guys have issues and stuff. So do I. So does Naomi and I. So does our family. Like, we're dealing with things. And it was just one of those days where it got to be too much, you know? I try to deal with one thing, try to deal with another. As soon as you think you figured out one thing, something else comes along. And I think I had like a mini breakdown. It wasn't physical pain, but it was just a lot of emotional pain and emotional struggle. And to the point where, like, you know, obviously nobody knows me better than my wife. And she's like, what's going on? I try not to tell her everything sometimes because, you know, I don't want her to worry. And she does the same to me. And I hate it when she does it to me, but then I do it to her. I was at work, and I hardly ever miss a day of work. I was just there, and I was having my little breakdown. I walked out, and she called me, and I'm just talking to her on the phone, and she's like, okay, get home right now. You know, like, just forget work, just leave work, just come home right now. And like I said, I hardly ever missed work, but I went home, and you know, between her and I and God, you know, like, God was able to give me comfort, so thank God for that. But it was just pain, and pain sucks, right? And we all have to deal with it. And I was looking through the Bible, and I found the passage in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 18, where he says, why has my pain become unending, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? You truly have become like a mirage to me, like water that is not reliable. So here, the prophet, he's gotten to a point where he's saying, like, it just seems like my pain is never ending. It seems like this wound that I'm carrying with me, like, cannot be healed. And even God himself seems to have let me down, because it seems like God, who's supposed to be my help, he is like a mirage, like water. You think you see water, you're thirsting in the desert, and when you get close, you see that it's not actually water, not there. And so that's why I want to talk to you guys about pain tonight. We have about 30 minutes, so let's see what we can talk about tonight. Because pain not only sucks, but it has consequences, right? Pain can make you irritated, right? Like, just with my heel pain, right? Like, getting up morning after morning, you step on it. Even in our room, we have, you know, our bed in our room, and we have, like, Caleb's crib in our room, and we have his toys and everything. And as clumsy as I am, that's just like a recipe for disaster. So not only do I have this heel pain, but now I'm running into things with my heel. And instead of it getting better, it's just, like, getting worse, right? And you get, like, irritated, like, oh, again, you know? Like, I had to hit that spot again. And sometimes you get quick-tempered, and, like, you lash out at the people around you. They didn't do anything. You know, they didn't get you mad, but just because you're in pain, you lash out at them. You get frustrated with life, right? You get frustrated with, like, just things that are going on around you. Sometimes people, you know, isolate themselves because of pain, you know? They don't want to deal with people, or they're afraid that people are going to hurt them even more. They're dealing with enough pain as it is, and they don't want to be hurt even more, so they become isolated. Other people become depressed. Other people become desperate. They get to the point of desperation, even where they consider taking their lives, because it's real. Pain is real. Whether you see it or not, that pain is real. Whether, you know, sometimes it's easier if, you know, when you're dealing with emotional pain, it's so hard for people to understand you sometimes, because physical pain they can see, right? I've told my wife, you know, sometimes when you know, you're dealing with that emotional pain, that spiritual pain, I'm like, I wish I was, like, gushing blood instead, you know, because then, like, people would understand, you know, people would get it. But when it's internal, sometimes people just don't get you, and they make the situation even worse, right? So this is why I want to talk about pain tonight. Oh, thanks, honey. So, all of us go through pain. All of us have to endure pain at one point or another. But there are reasons why we might be in pain. And I think it's important for us to look at those reasons. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. Just look at a few reasons why you might find yourself in a situation where you're in pain. And then just throw out a challenge to us as a whole, to us as a church. It seems like God's been throwing us challenges, and this morning was the challenge was from Fratele Druhora, Pastor Druhora. It was about unity and about the convention that's coming up, and how we're talking about unity, and we want unity, and what are we doing about unity? And tonight, I think God is going to throw us a challenge as well. So let's just begin by looking at a couple bad reasons for pain, a couple, you know, bad negative reasons why you or why I would be possibly in pain. The first one, pretty simple. Sometimes we're in pain because we're in sin. It says in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 15, why do you care? Why do you cry about your injury? This is God speaking. Your pain has no cure. I have done these things to you. Again, God is saying, I have done these things to you because of your enormous guilt and your innumerable sins. So God is saying the pain that you're experiencing right now is because of your guilt and because of your innumerable sins. And the best example that I could share with you guys is you know, basically the relationship between parents and children, right? You discipline your children, right? Like, if you see your child doing something wrong, because you love them, you discipline them. My baby's an angel, so I've never had to discipline him yet. But, you know, That day, unfortunately, will come. I see myself in him, and he has little nerve, and, you know, like, he wants something, and you don't give it to him, and he's just like, and it's cute now, and you're like, ah, but it's not going to be cute. You know, it's cute at 7 months. It's not going to be cute at 7 years old or at 17. So you discipline your child so that they learn a lesson, right? In the same way, God disciplines us, or God sometimes allows us to go through pain because we are in sin. Or maybe you're here, maybe you don't have kids, you're not a parent tonight, but you have friends, you know, you have people that you hang out with. And if you love them, when you see them doing something wrong, right? If you truly love, if you don't love them, you're going to ignore it. You're going to look the other way. You're going to go on with your day. But if you love your friend, if you love that person that you see doing something wrong, you are going to get up in their face and you are going to challenge them. You are going to get awkward with them and you're going to let them know, right? Like bluntly, hey, you're being a jerk. What's going on? You're going to cause them pain, right? Like they probably weren't expecting that. They probably weren't expecting you to do this to them. But because you love them, you can't let them go on the way they're going. So you get up to them. You challenge them. And it's not about, hey, I'm mad at you, so I want to get back at you. I want to hurt you too. But it's because you want them to realize what they're doing, that they're doing wrong, and you want them to realize that they need to fix it, or you're offering to help them fix it. That's why we're doing it. So the first reason why you and I could be in pain is because maybe we're in sin, and this is the signal that God is giving us to let us know that we're not right with Him, and it's out of love. It's not because God enjoys punishing us. He's doing it in the same way that a parent does it to a child, or that you, if you're a good friend, that you would do it to your friend. The second reason why sometimes we're in pain is because we're not in tune with God. Jeremiah chapter 45, verses 3 through 5 say, you, this is Baruch, you have said, so Baruch has said, woe is me, because the Lord has added misery to my pain. So here we have Baruch, and he's complaining. He's like, you know, not only was I in pain, but now the Lord added misery to my pain. I'm worn out. I'm worn out with groaning, and I have found no rest. He's like, I'm over it. I'm over everything. I don't understand. I'm looking around, and I don't get what God is doing. I'm already in pain about the situation that's happening around me. God is adding misery to it. And then God responds, and he says, this is what you are to say to him. This is what the Lord says. What I have built, I'm about to demolish. And what I have planted, I'm about to uproot the whole land. But as for you, do you pursue great things for yourself? Stop pursuing. So, like I said, sometimes we look at what God is doing around us. We look at what God is doing in our lives, or in our church, or you know, the people around us, and we don't get it. It makes no sense. We're like, what is going on? And we get frustrated because we don't understand. And so we start getting upset about the situation that we see, that nothing's being done, that it seems to be going bad, and why is it, and what's going on? And God is saying to Baruch in this situation, hey, you're crying for Israel. You're crying about the things that are happening to Israel. He says, well, I'm about to discipline them. The reason why things look like they look right now is because I am disciplining them. And the problem with Baruch and the problem with us many times is that we're looking at the circumstances around us and we're making up our minds about what we think about those circumstances before we talk to God. We look at what's going on, and we're like, it's bad, or it shouldn't be, or whatever. And we don't talk to God, and we're not in tune with Him. Because God might say, hey, look, I'm doing something in this situation. I'm doing something through this situation. Even though it looks bad to your eyes, I have a purpose. I'm at work. I'm doing work over here. And one of the best examples that I think I can give you guys is relationships. You know, especially boyfriend and girlfriend, like once you start dating. And maybe a relationship that's not in God's will. And you really like the guy, or you really, really like the girl. And for whatever reason, that relationship starts to break up. That relationship starts to break apart. And you get frustrated, and you get upset. And there is real deep pain, right? And you get frustrated not only at the situation, but sometimes you get frustrated with God. Like, why is God allowing this to happen? This person that I really like or love or care about, and it seems like those feelings aren't being returned, and it seems like this relationship is falling apart. I don't get it, God. What's going on? And the problem is that relationship, for whatever reason, might not be in God's will for your life. And that's why God is letting that relationship run its course and maybe fall apart. And the beautiful thing is that God always has something beautiful for you, right? God always has something wonderful prepared for you. In fact, God has something that's beyond what you could possibly imagine right here and right now, maybe in the pain that you're feeling, the pain that you're experiencing right now. But that's who we are, right? He says to Baruch, stop pursuing. Are you pursuing great things for yourself? Do you think you understand what you need? Do you think you understand what's going to be important in your life? He's saying, stop pursuing. Stop looking at the things that don't make sense and start pursuing me. God is saying, start pursuing me. Get in tune with me, what I'm doing and where I'm moving. So the second reason why we might find ourselves in pain sometimes is because we're not in tune with God. And the third bad reason is when we're not in tune with God, but maybe we're in tune with the wrong crowd. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." The companion of fools will suffer harm, will be in pain. Have you guys ever heard the expression, you are the average of the five closest people to you? Have you guys ever heard that expression? Psychologists, sociologists say, show me the five people that you spend the most time with, and I will tell you what kind of a person you are. Because you are the average or the sum, this is a truth that seems to run through almost all populations. You are kind of the average or the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. So the question is, who are you hanging out with? Who are you getting in tune with? Are you getting in tune? Are you in tune? Are you hanging out? Are you spending your time with people that are doing drugs? Well, chances are that, you're going to end up doing drugs at one point or another. Are you spending time with people, with guys or with girls that, they don't care about God? Maybe they're perverted. They say perverted things, perverted jokes, talk about perverted things. Well, chances are that one way or another, you're going to fall into that situation, whether you want to right now or not. Those people have influence on you. So who are you in tune with? Who are you hanging out with? Are you hanging out with people that gossip all the time? Are your closest friends people that always want to tell you about what that person's doing or that person's doing? Are you hanging out with people that talk trash about other people, even people at church? Well, chances are you are going to be a gossip. You're going to be a person that's going to gossip about other people, that's going to talk trash about other people, that's going to hurt other people. So one of the reasons why we might be in pain is because, again, we are in tune with the wrong crowd. So those are a couple negative reasons, three negative reasons that some of us end up in pain. But it's not only negative reasons, those aren't always the reasons or the explanations for why we might be in pain. There are actually good reasons why we might find ourselves in pain, believe it or not. And I want to share a couple of those with you, four reasons actually. So here are a few good reasons, acceptable reasons why you might be in pain, why you might find yourself struggling or suffering. And the first one is because you chose not to sin. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. So here's how the situation usually happens, right? Temptation comes, you're tempted, and there's that inner struggle, right? Where you're like, man, I kind of want to give into this sin because I know that there's pleasure in this sin, but I know that I shouldn't. And there's that struggle and that fight. And a lot of times when we overcome the temptation, we're like, yes, awesome. And I was tempted. I was in a difficult situation, but I overcame. And we're like, I want fireworks now. I want a celebration. I want a party, right? I overcame sin. I chose not to sin. But the thing is, it doesn't always happen that way, right? Don't expect the world to applaud when you choose not to sin. Don't expect the world to applaud you when you choose to do the right thing, because it usually doesn't happen that way. The world usually, not all the time, because there are good people that aren't Christians. There are decent people that aren't Christians. So they're not, all the same. But usually, typically, the world isn't going to applaud you when you choose not to drink or to do drugs, right? There's going to be pressure. Hey, after work, come have a drink with us. Hey, we're going to go to a party. Why don't you come hang out with us over there? And if you say no, they'll ask you why. And if you tell them why, it almost doesn't matter what reason you give them, but they'll say or they'll think that you're a loser. Or, you know, if you choose to keep yourself sexually pure, if you understand that the Bible teaches us that, you know, sex was meant to be within the bonds and the covenant of marriage and not outside, and if you choose to keep yourself pure and you're in a situation where you're talking about it with your friends at school or at work and you tell them what you believe, hey, I'm a virgin, or hey, I'm not having sex until I get married, they're going to think you're crazy. Why? Why would you do that? Nobody's going to be patting you on the back saying like, oh, that's awesome. It's hardly ever going to happen. But you know what? It's not just the world. It's the church too, right? Like, the church might not either. The church might not applaud you when you choose to do the right thing either, or when you choose not to sin. A lot of times you say, hey, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this on. And instead of people encouraging you, the people in the church, us, me, we come to you and we say, you know, like, who does she think she is? Or who does he think he is, you know, trying to take on that ministry or trying to do this or that? I know who he is. I know what he's done. I know the kind of life he's lived. I know all the places where he's messed up. Who does he think he is now trying to do things for God, right? So sometimes you get smacked around, not by the world, but by the people that you think you should trust and that the people that should be encouraging you. And the problem, or like the struggle there, the tension there, is in the way that we think, whether we're thinking long-term or short-term. Because we know one thing, we were promised tribulation while we're on this side of heaven. Jesus said that while we're on this earth, we're going to experience tribulation. We're going to experience suffering. We're going to experience pain. But he also promised that on the other side of heaven, there's going to be a restoration of all things. There's going to be a restoration of relationships. There's going to be a restoration of health. There's going to be a restoration of all the things that you've had to endure. Every pain that you had to suffer is going to be accounted for and taken care of on the other side of this world, on the other side of heaven. So keep doing what is right. Keep doing what you're doing. If you're choosing not to sin, if you're choosing to do the right thing, stay strong and don't seek the approval of people, but seek the approval of God. Amen? The second good reason why you or I might be in pain is to prevent worse pain later on. So God might allow you to go and experience pain right now because by going through whatever you're going through now, you are going to avoid or prevent even bigger pain, greater pain at some later point in your life. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, "For if I cause you pain," Paul speaking to the Corinthians, "then who will cheer me other than the one being hurt by me? I wrote this very thing so that when I come, I wouldn't have pain from those who ought to give me joy." Again, the best example that I can give you is probably relationships. You know, God says no. You want to have a relationship, or you're in a relationship with a person, and God just says no, and you're devastated. You're devastated. And like, I'm not trying to, you know, belittle that feeling, because that feeling is very real. That pain is still very real. But you don't know why God is saying no, because he doesn't always tell us the why, right? But who knows? Maybe God telling you no to that relationship is because in God's wisdom and in the way that he sees the end from the beginning, God knows that relationship will not end well. Maybe it goes into marriage, but maybe later on it ends up in divorce. And to spare you that pain, God is saying no. Or maybe the person that you the person that you want to be in a relationship with or are in a relationship with is not going. Maybe there's a calling on your life. God says, I want you to be a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or a worship leader or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher. Whatever it is, I want you to be involved. I want you to be in ministry. I want you to do and pioneer great things for me. And the person that you love, you know, just doesn't care. They're, you know, they'd much rather wake up late on Sunday and, you know, go fishing or, you know, go to the mall or something, and you're not in tune. And that is going to prevent you from fulfilling the calling that God has on your life. What if God lets your business fail? What could possibly be a good reason for God, right? You've invested money, you worked hard, you came from Romania, you left everything, you sacrificed, you mowed lawns, you built up a company from scratch, you sweat, you shed blood, and then God just says, you know what? I'm going to let this company that you worked for fail. What good could possibly be in that, right? Sometimes we just don't understand. And maybe it's because, again, maybe success is so crazy, right? Success breeds satisfaction and contentment in this world and in our situation and in our abilities and in our money and in our finances. And sometimes success can lead us away from God. And maybe to prevent that, which we're comparing the temporal, the temporary to the eternal, God allows your business to fail. Or maybe success might lead you to hurt other people. Or maybe success might lead you to get involved with the wrong people. We don't see the end from the beginning, but God does. And a lot of times, he will let us endure pain now in order to prevent worse pain later on. The third good reason why you and I might be experiencing pain is for others, is when we endure pain for other people. And sometimes it's to sympathize with other people, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. So if one member of the body of Christ suffers, all the members suffer with it. This is that awesome passage where it talks about us, the church, being like the body of Christ and everybody having a part to play. And somebody's the eye and somebody's the nose. And as Jason Lukacs spoke at Youth on Friday, and he did an awesome job, by the way. And he talked about how sometimes he feels like he's the armpit of the body. And you know, maybe you're the maybe I'm the armpit. Who knows? You know, but we're all in this together. We all have a function to play, right? And when one part of the body, like when my heel was hurting, like I was miserable. It wasn't just my heel or just my foot that was miserable, but I was miserable. Everything about me was miserable. So sometimes that's exactly what's going on. God allows us to go through pain so that we can sympathize or empathize with other people that are struggling. Let me you know, be honest with you. You know, when our church was going great and we were pioneering all sorts of new things, you know, we were the first to have a worship team and we were the first to have, you know, this and that, and like everybody was copying us. I'm not going to lie. It was easy for me to look down on other churches and to wonder, well, why can't that church do that? Or why can't those people do that? And like, we're doing it and look how great we are, you know, for the things that we're doing. And then when God allowed us to go through a season of struggle, now it's a lot easier for me to empathize with other churches, with people in other churches that don't necessarily have the resources or the situation or the circumstances to do certain things. It humbled me. And it allowed me to empathize with people. And maybe that's why God is allowing you to go through that. Because let me tell you another secret. When you were going through pain and somebody came up to you and encouraged you, the reason why they were able to encourage you is most likely because they had already gone through a similar kind of pain. They had already suffered. And that suffering made them able to understand you, to understand the beating of your heart, to look at you, to look in your eyes, and to understand that there was pain there, where if they had not gone through that pain, they would have just overlooked you. They would have just said, hey, how's it going? Great, okay, I'm going to go on my way. But that suffering allows you and me to empathize with the people around us. And it's not only to empathize, but sometimes it's to help others grow. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul is speaking and he says, my children, I'm again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. He's saying, I'm suffering labor pains for you so that Christ would be formed in you. Let me just ask a couple questions over here. Would you be willing to go through pain so that the person around you grows spiritually? Look to your left. Look to your left. Look to your right. Look at the people that are sitting next to you. Look around you. And ask yourself, would you be willing not to suffer with them, but to suffer you alone, you by yourself, to suffer physical, mental, spiritual pain so that that person sitting next to you will grow and mature spiritually? Would you be willing to put off a year of college maybe to devote yourself to kids ministry here at the church? Maybe you see a need and maybe you're like, you know, I know that I could do it and God has gifted me in you know, to be able to make an impact in this ministry, but I want to get my life going. I want to finish school so I could get a job and I could get things going for me and, you know, for whatever. Would you be willing to suffer? If God is calling you to do that, I'm not saying that he is, but would you be willing to say, you know, I'm going to put off a year of college to devote myself to build up a ministry that is going to impact the lives of children that are growing up and that need to know Jesus? Would you be willing to go through physical sickness so that people could see God working in you? You know, your endurance in that battle, your endurance in that fight might be just the spark that their faith needs in order to cry out to God, to receive salvation, or to enter into the ministry, into the calling that God has given them, because they see the strength that God gives you while you're in pain, while you're struggling. The fear that they might have about their own calling might, you know, they might say, you know what, if you know, they can do it, if he can do it, if she can do it, if Brianna can do it, if Michaela can do it, I can do it. And the last thing, the last good reason why you and I might be in pain, because we ask ourselves a lot of times, you know, why would God allow it? Why would God allow me to go through pain? It's because sometimes, or it's because pain is often part of a bigger picture, part of the larger picture. It says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, from then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, to be killed and then be raised on the third day. You know, salvation was impossible without the cross, right? Salvation, which we sing about and which we benefit from, was impossible without Jesus first going through the cross. Friday was needed. Friday had to happen so that Sunday could be possible. The crucifixion had to happen first so that the resurrection could happen on Sunday, right? So that Easter could happen on Sunday, so that we could celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and look forward to our own resurrection. So sometimes it's part of a bigger picture. And it's one part of that bigger picture is that God wants to cure us of our addiction to this world. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same understanding, because the one who suffers in the flesh is finished with sin, in order to live the remaining time in the flesh no longer for human desires, but for God's desire. So pain can be God's way of helping us to detach ourselves from this world. We care so much about the things of this world. We care so much for trinkets and baubles that have no bearing on eternity. And sometimes God allows us to endure pain and experience pain to see how fleeting the joys of this world are, and to begin to fix our eyes not on this world, but to begin to fix our eyes on him instead, turning our eyes to him from the temporary to the eternal. And I'm going to finish in the next 2 minutes. I just want to say that the last reason, you know, in this bigger picture, is that a lot of times God allows us to go through pain when something great is about to happen, when something beautiful is about to take place. In John chapter 16, it says, when a woman is in labor, for all you women who have given birth, tell me if this is not the truth. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world, right? Like, you no longer remember the suffering, because there's plenty of suffering afterwards, unfortunately, right? And he continues, so you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from me. So, brothers and sisters, sometimes God allows us to go through pain because it's necessary for something beautiful to be born. A person, a baby, a ministry, a new life in Christ. Maybe the pain is you being on your knees night after night praying for your brother or sister or your friend, or maybe your mother or father who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And you're there for hours at a time wearing out, you know, pair after pair of jeans, but you're there praying, you're suffering, you're willing to endure the pain so that somebody could come to the knowledge of Christ. So those are some of the good reasons why you and I might be in pain and why God might allow us to go through pain. So there are all kinds of reasons, you know? If it's because you're in sin, if it's because I'm in sin, well, then I better check myself. I better verify my life and see which areas do I need to change, which areas do I need to confess to the Lord about. But sometimes it's not those negative things. Sometimes it's actually good reasons why you're experiencing pain right now. So in conclusion, the good news is this. Whether you're in pain because of a bad reason or you're in pain because of a good reason, the good news is found in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where it says that he, Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. So there is coming a day when Jesus will wipe away every tear. Whatever pain you're experiencing right now will be gone, whether it's here on this earth or when we meet with him in heaven. He will wipe away and he will remove every pain that you're experiencing. But what do we do right now? You know, maybe you think that the sermon was a decent sermon right now. But so what? You know, I hope that you've understood what I've tried to tell you, the reasons why you might be experiencing pain. But even if this was a decent sermon, have I cured pain? No, I haven't, right? I did nothing to cure pain because it's something that you and I have to actively pursue. And this is where the challenge comes in, and this is where I'm going to end. So what do we do now? It's not just about understanding why we might be suffering or why the people around us might be experiencing pain. Because pain is caused by multiple reasons, and sometimes it's us. Oftentimes, unfortunately, it's us. I don't have any sort of bearing on what the world does, what the people at your job do, or what, you know, I can't control that. You can't control that either to a great extent. But we can control what happens over here. We can control what happens in our own family, at Emmanuel Church over here. So here's the challenge that I'm going to throw to you. Stop hurting people. First one is stop intentionally hurting people. Because, you know, does that really happen in church? Yes. Yes, it does. Unfortunately, we hurt each other very often. Sometimes, you know, you just don't like a person. That person rubs you the wrong way. So you blatantly, in their face, just very obviously make it known that you don't like them. Or sometimes it's subtle. I know most of us probably wouldn't be blatant about it, but there's lots of ways that people are very subtly very hurtful to one another in the church, in the family of God, where you make it difficult for those people that you don't like in the church, where you try to remove them from other people, remove their friendships and their interactions and affect them and make them feel uncomfortable, make them feel unwelcome, the way you look at people, the way you talk about them, the gossip that is spread about them. We do that, unfortunately. I've done that. You've probably done that. So stop it. Stop doing that. Stop hurting people intentionally. This should be a hospital where people, if they've been hurt by the world, if they've been hurt by their friends, if they've been hurt by life just happening, this is a place where people need to be able to come and find refuge. Amen? Find solace. Find healing. The second challenge is stop hurting people. But stop unintentionally hurting people. Because, you know, the saying, you might know it very well, it says the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Let me give you an example. Right when I started as a youth pastor, somebody came up to me, and it was a girl, and she said, "Hey, Colleen, can I talk to you?" I think I've shared this at the youth before. I don't know if I've shared it in church, but Colleen, can I talk to you? And I said, yes, of course, you know, like I felt great that, you know, she trusted me enough to come. I was, you know, just barely beginning, you know, my journey as a youth pastor. So I'm like, yeah, she wants my wisdom. Of course, I'm willing to share my wisdom with her, you know, share the deep knowledge that God has given me, you know, to fix whatever's going on with her. And she starts telling me. And as soon as she starts talking to me, I go into Mr. Fix-It mode. And as she's speaking, I'm already thinking up solutions. I'm like, okay, we could do this and that. And then I don't think I cut her off, but I definitely jumped into like, hey, yeah, that's not a problem. We'll do this, that. Don't worry about that. We'll fix this. We'll fix that. And I just solved all of her problems and sent her on her merry way. And it was maybe about a week later where she came to me, and it took a lot of guts for her to say this, but she said, Colleen, I just want you to know that you really hurt me when we talked that last time. And boy, was I shocked, right? Because I thought I was just, you know, Mr. Superman, you know, Mr. Super Youth Pastor, just because of the wisdom, you know, that I was able to share with her. And she said, like you didn't listen, like, to what I was trying to tell you. You didn't listen to what I was dealing with. Like, you didn't really understand what I was trying to communicate with you and the pain that I was trying to share with you. You just blew off my concerns. You just, you know, diminished the things that I was trying to share with you, and I just felt really hurt. And I was crushed. And boy, did it humble me. I was trying to do the right thing. I was trying to do a good thing, yet unintentionally, here I was hurting this person that was trying to get help from me. And I think we do that. It's unintentional, but people come here to church, and it leads into the last point that I want to make, the last challenge that I want to throw out to us tonight. People come over here and they're hurt, they're in pain. And you don't know what kind of pain they're dealing with. And I don't know what kind of pain they're carrying. And sometimes because we're callous or because we don't care enough to just sit there and to listen to them and to empathize with them and sometimes to just shut up and just love on them, we unintentionally hurt our family, our brothers and sisters, the people here at Emmanuel, the people here in our spiritual family. So the last thing that I want to throw to you is give grace. Let's just be a church that is full of grace to one another. Just as Christ showed you grace, show grace to the people around you. That's what we need. More than my wisdom, even more than your wisdom, more than your advice, more than your suggestions. People just need to be loved here and healed and cared for. So let's be that kind of church. Let's let the Holy Spirit make us, transform us into that kind of church. Amen? Amen. We're going to end here. Let's stand up. And I'm very sorry that I went over 8, but I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for bringing us together tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in this place, Lord God, Father, whether they're youth members, whether they're parents, whether they're grandparents, Lord God, you brought us all together, Lord God, Father. And we're here, Lord God, to help each other grow. We're here, Lord God, to help each other heal. We're here, Lord God, to help each other mend our wounds, Father. And sometimes we mess up, and instead of doing that, we hurt each other. Father, forgive us, Lord. Father, I come before you and I ask for forgiveness from you, Lord God, personally, Lord God, Father, for the times that I've hurt, Lord God, my brothers and sisters at Emmanuel Church. I want to ask them, Lord God, Father, for forgiveness for the times that I've hurt them, Lord God, Father. Knowingly, Lord God, Father, or unknowingly, Lord God, intentionally or unintentionally, Lord. I pray, Father, that you pour out your spirit over us tonight, Lord God, and that you make us sensitive, Lord God, to you, Jesus, Lord God, first of all, but that you also make us sensitive to one another, Lord. Help us understand, Lord God, Father, that what we need when we come here, Father, is love and grace, Lord God, because that's what you operate in, Lord God. You operate in love and grace. And sometimes that love and that grace, Lord God, has to be tough, Lord God, but help us, Jesus, Lord God, Father, to whatever we do, Lord God, whatever we say, Lord God, however we address one another, Lord God, let it be always salted, Lord God, with the love of the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus. I pray in your heavenly name, Lord God. And as we go out into this world, Lord God, help us to take this love, Lord. Help us to take this grace, Lord God, to the world as well, Lord God, to our workplaces and to our schools, because the world needs the love of Jesus Christ, Lord God, today more than ever. We thank you, Lord God, that in you we have healing. We thank you, Lord God, that in you, Lord God, you've given us a family, Lord God, that we can run to, Lord God. No, we're not perfect, Lord God, but it's a beautiful thing. The church is a beautiful thing, Lord God. Your people are a beautiful thing, Father, Lord God. And thank you for the blessing, Lord God, and the grace that we have, Lord God, in them and in Emmanuel. We praise you, we worship you, and we glorify your name. Amen. Amen.